I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, third hour, Tinky and Tierney, company from the Tinky and Tierney Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help, and can help you as well. Rockin' Mortgage, push button, get mortgage, 503 Eastern, 203 Pacific. Got another hour, so Tinky and I will finish up strong here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Was looking forward to having this conversation. We'll dive into it now. Joe Burrow. This emerged and made some news. Joe Burrow, as we all know, first of all, had a great, maybe the greatest season of all time in college football history this past year for LSU. He's an Ohio boy. The Bengals have the first overall pick, which probably is not a good thing for Joe Burrow. But now Joe Burrow is saying that Joe Burrow has leverage and was repeatedly non-committal. I believe he was accepting the Davey O'Brien Award.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had all the microphones, and they asked about the first overall pick and playing for his hometown Bengals, et cetera. He was very non-committal. He said that it's always been a dream to play for the first, you know, get drafted first overall. Not so much a dream to play for the Bengals. Every time he was asked directly about them, he took a pass.
Yeah.
So, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But what leverage is he speaking of?
I mean, the only thing you can think of is saying, like Eli did with the Chargers, the then San Diego Chargers, I'm not playing here. You can draft me, but I'm not playing here. And leverage that into a trade. But not really. It's not like with John Elway, who played baseball also, and was like, yeah, if you draft me, I'm just going to go play baseball. Like, he doesn't have that kind of leverage.
Nope.
And in fact, yes, he had that one great season last year with 60 touchdowns, which is just that's asinine to think about. And 76% completion percentage, and a lot of that are balls down the field. So it's not like he's dinking and dunking his way to 76% completion percentage on the season and a national championship and a Heisman Trophy. It's his leverage is kind of mitigated by the fact that last year he had 16 touchdowns and was a good quarterback, but nowhere near in the conversation to be the first overall. So there's some things that people are going to have to reconcile with him.
Exactly.
He doesn't have a great arm, like arm strength, but his timing is impeccable.
Big kid, right? Too.
Exactly. He's a big kid, but his timing, like his ability to read a defense and know where he wants to get the ball to is unbelievable. In that regard, he's like Drew Brees, right? He's timing. It's like an eight. You know what I mean? He feels it. He knows when he's got to let the ball go to get it to his wide receiver in stride, which is just amazing to do because most quarterbacks, you know, they struggle. Like they're processing games happening too fast, and they get lost like in that half a second, and that's an interception or incompletion. He didn't struggle with that at all. I mean, there were games last year that he was like utterly perfect in his reads and in his decision making and where he placed the football. But I don't think that gives him leverage. I don't think it's there like it used to be, where you can just move around and say, I don't want to go here, so I'm going to go elsewhere. Even if you do try to draft me. I mean, I get it. He's 23 years old, so he'll be 24 in December. He doesn't want to be on a team that's going to, you know, take 3 years to become viable, which feels like the Bengals might, especially if they move off from A.J. Green. So, I mean, it's great that Cincinnati wants to draft him and he'll be home, but being home isn't always great when that team is not good.
The only way he's not playing for the Bengals is if the Bengals make the determination that Tua is fully healthy and Tua is better, which you and I both believe is the case, and the Bengals take Tua first overall and not Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Listen, I really like Joe. I met him. I thought a lot of people kind of unfairly position him as a little cocky. My partner was one of them. You were calling him cocky.
Yeah.
Remember that show?
Yeah,
like,
that's
what
right.
are you talking about? Kid's the nicest, most humble young man I've ever met.
No, it wasn't the cockiness. So it was just the look. It wasn't that. It was just the look of him like smoking a cigar after a college football champ. It just felt weird to me.
Hey, dude, if I had the season that he had, I would have lit up a blunt.
Yeah, no, it's just
I don't
weird.
Care who's around there?
It just felt weird. To
All right,
me.
I got you. But a few of the things that you said, I do think are absolutely instrumental into validating our points that he has. You say little leverage. I think he's got no leverage. Number one, Yeah, I understand what happened with Eli and Rivers. Joe Burrow's dad is not Mr. Manning. The Mannings, the ability to orchestrate that draft,
yeah.
Say whatever you want. The fact that Archie was pulling the strings and Peyton was the best player, or one of them,
yep.
had a lot to do with that happening, number one. Yep. Joe Burrow's dad, I'm sure, is a nice guy. Joe Burrow's dad is not Archie right. in terms of juice.
And Peyton or Eli didn't even have to say anything.
Not a word.
He didn't comment at all.
Number one. Number two. If he ever did, and this would be incredibly drastic, and he won't do this, but if he ever said, you know what, I'm going to sit out, mm-hmm. that's fun because now Trevor Lawrence gets picked over you next year.
Yeah.
Got no leverage there. I think that any leverage he perceives to have, I'm going to restate this, once Tua, and we had Tua on at the Super Bowl, the most recent medical report for Tua was favorable.
Mm-hmm.
Tua's going to get out there and do some throwing, not at the combine, but certainly at his own yeah. pro camp. I think there's a chance Tua goes first overall.
Well,
no, I really believe that. Whether somebody scoots up and trades with the Bengals, I think the Bengals should be open to every possible option. And the other thing is this. You mentioned the John Elway thing, which is a good one, but an obvious one. 58% completion percentage is his second year, or his first year.
Yeah, yeah.
So
first year
at LSU. LSU. So this body of work that I know Tua's seasons have been interrupted. Joe Burrow doesn't quite have.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a flash in the pan. I believe Joe Burrow will be a very good quarterback. He's got to tap the brakes. He doesn't have any leverage.
I mean, the one that I will slightly disagree with you on is that he could sit out for a year and say, look, all right, I'm going to go play in the XFL.
Stop. Thank you.
I'm going to sit out the year. I'm not going to play at all because I don't want to be taken number one overall by the Bengals. And, I'll compete with Trevor Lawrence. He'll lose some money. He'll lose a lot of that forward momentum. There'll be some character questions that are probably unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
But he could sit out a year if he wants to try to get somewhere that he wants to go to. It just doesn't. You just never see it. Like, and it just doesn't make any sense for a guy who's going to cost himself, probably $10 million. It would cost $10 million to do that. It's just not worth it.
No, and you have to remember. His first season at LSU, you know what he was projected as after last season?
No.
Sixth round pick.
Get out.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that it's accurate. Tom Brady went late in the round.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson went late. Joe Montana went late.
Yeah. I mean, their offense wasn't designed to showcase the quarterback at all.
I understand that. But do you throw 58% completion rate in college
disagree.
In 2019 or 2018?
Yeah.
That's horrendous.
I know.
I mean, that's bad. Well, college, I know LSU was a little stone age.
True.
I get that.
It also just
58%.
It also kind of just makes you wonder, how much of this was dependent upon his coordinator and pass game coordinator, not necessarily his offensive coordinator.
That's why if I'm the Panthers, I'm doing whatever it takes to get him.
Yeah, which is what I thought when they first hired Joe Brady away from LSU.
Yeah.
Like, this is David Tepper saying, I'm pushing all my chips in. I got Rule, we stole him from the Giants. I'm stealing Joe Brady, who declared a week ago that he's going to stay with LSU and not head to the National Football League. A week later, he's the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, right? Why not try to trade up and get the guy? Because Joe Brady wants him. He has to. Like, the way that they worked so well together, it wouldn't be surprising if the Carolina Panthers were trying to move up. Now, the challenge is to go from seven, the Panthers are, to go from seven to one.
Mm.
It's a jump, man.
Yeah. If you're the Bengals, though, boy, that would really talk about accelerating their
true,
curve.
True, but you're also jumping a couple of teams that are going to be also looking for quarterbacks.
That's true.
So
that's true.
You know what I mean? So you're offering a lesser pick for somebody else is going to want to jump up there. Miami wants to jump. Whoever, somebody's going to jump there that has more to offer than you do, unless you're going to give up the farm.
Here's the quote: I do have leverage. All right. The Bengals have their process. I have my process. All right. We haven't even gotten to the NFL combine yet. There's a lot of things that happened leading up to the draft and a lot of information gathered. Listen, I certainly respect the young man's right to accrue as much information as possible. And I understand. Listen, if I'm a quarterback, I wouldn't want to get drafted by the Bengals.
No, but
I don't want that.
You don't have a choice. You do, but you don't really. There really isn't a choice.
If I'm a junior, maybe I say go back to school. Can't do that.
No.
You don't play baseball, so you can't do that.
No.
Your dad's not Archie Manning, so he's not going to manipulate the entire draft. Not happening.
Yeah.
You're going to be 25 if you sit out a season and then vying with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
He has no leverage.
I don't think he does
either. I don't see a grain a modicum of leverage.
I wonder why he would say that. Why would he?
I know why he said
that. Why would he not?
I know why he said that.
Why?
My theory is that he's trying to incentivize the Bengals to trade, to get out of the spot. You know, the more
but it's not like
non-committal he remains to them, they have to receive it as, man, maybe this kid doesn't want to come play for us, and then be more receptive
but
to trades.
I think gone are the days where guys don't sign. You know what I mean? Like, it used to be, we're going to have a, like, because it was negotiation. It was
maybe
more,
like a protracted holdout?
Yeah, it was more about the contract, but that was more about the contracts. Yep. The contracts are, that's not even, you don't even negotiate it anymore. You negotiate, like, stupid finer points.
The
like,
offset stuff.
Offset
that
language
about.
And stuff we always talk about with the Chargers, interestingly.
Yeah, usually
it's
Chargers.
It's the only team that we talk
pretty
about
much.
It with.
Although my Jets did it this year,
that's
winning,
right,
too.
That's right. But it, for the most part, there's nothing really to negotiate. You're getting the slot. You're going to get what you're going to get. There's no, like, I'm going to sit out for, you know, all of training camp and or the end of the regular season until I get the contract I want. That's not the conversation anymore. The only thing the Bengals really have to lean on is that they I don't want to, earns the wrong word, whatever the opposite of earned is. They earned the right for this pick. And a lot of it was probably so that they could get one of these elite quarterbacks, that they, at least they think that are elite quarterback coming in the NFL this year. And Joe Burrow is the guy who fits the slot right now. But, you know, it's interesting. You said something, you know, 3-4 minutes ago, BT, that actually is, I think, telling.
Okay.
I'm starting to agree with you that I don't necessarily believe that he is the consensus number one overall pick.
Nope.
Right? It makes sense because of the season that he had. It was ridiculous. But a one-year sample is not something I would have a lot of faith in, especially given the contrast of his previous season. Yes, I know it was a different offense, but let's also not forget, unless he goes to Carolina and Joe Brady puts in that exact same offense that he ran at LSU, he's going to be in another offense at Cincinnati. And so with likely inferior talent that he had at LSU, because that receiving corps at LSU was ridiculous. So there's a risk with Joe Brady. I mean, Joe Burrow. There's a risk that you just that you're not – you just don't know, right? With some of these other guys, it's pretty certain you know they're going to figure it out because they were – like they took that natural – like climb. Joe Burrow went from very average to the pinnacle.
I mean, it was a stark leap. You just don't see that. No.
Maybe you see it at wide receiver. Maybe you see it at defensive end.
I know what you mean.
Maybe you see it at running back. You just don't see that at quarterback.
Not maybe an obscure conference. Like, you're right. You don't see a pedestrian season turn into the next season the most amazing season of all time.
With the Heisman Trophy and national championship and downfield passing records that were never going to be replicated.
And your draft status go from a sixth-round projection to the first overall.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing to think about, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but as you and I have started to really believe and, you know, thrown out there, we're not convinced he's going first overall. Is this possibly a defense mechanism to make himself save some
faith, grace
if he doesn't go first overall? Because if he sits here and he says, yeah, I want to play for the Bengals, and they draft Tua, it kind of look, you know, not that, I mean, you're still an incredibly accomplished player. You're going to get paid. I mean,
I doubt he's thinking.
Because that's
about
the only angle I could see, because he has no leverage otherwise.
No.
He just doesn't have it.
Yeah.
It
was an interesting statement. I don't know how anybody agrees with it.
No, we don't. All right, coming up, I don't know if you and I agree on this premise either. Matter of fact, I know we don't agree, which makes for an interesting conversation. He's back in the bayou. That is Drew Brees, which is great for football. But is the window shut? One of us thinks yes, and one of us thinks no. That's coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227 here on Tiki and Tierney, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. Really enjoy the Joe Burrow conversation. That really is a fascinating aspect to this draft here. And this is going to be a lot of fun, this draft. There are a multitude of teams with quarterback needs.
Yep.
We've talked about it for months here, if not almost a full year. There are seemingly a couple of teams in premium draft slots that could be enticed to move down.
Yep.
And still get a terrific player like Tiki's Giants, perhaps, in the 4 slot. This is just going to be wildly unpredictable. Then you throw in the whole Las Vegas backdrop. This draft is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun because of the number of great prospects that are coming into the league. And look, it's easy to look at the quarterbacks because the free agent quarterbacks make it interesting, including Teddy Bridgewater, who we talked about it earlier in the show. Who knows? Cam Newton could be. I doubt he's going to be released. I'd like to think they'd trade him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only a $2 million dead cap hit because he's at the end of his deal already. So, I mean, maybe. He's not. I mean, who knows?
Andy Dalton, Matthew Stafford could get dealt.
There's a ton of them. Like, Phillip Rivers is out there.
Yeah, if you want
technically,
him.
Tom Brady, come March 18th, will be free as well.
I mean, now he's saying, come talk to me.
Exactly.
Now the report is Tom's not going to go on any free agent tours. Come talk to Tommy.
You're right. But you
come to the TB12 headquarters.
So we talk about those quarterbacks that are in this draft, Tua and Joe Burrow, who we were just talking about. And Herbert as well. But, I mean, Chase Young? Would you not want Chase Young?
I just wish he played a little bit better when he came off the suspension.
I agree, but he was suspended for a couple of games.
I think he missed three.
Three? Yeah, I think one was like self.
Or no, he missed two when he came back for the final three.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
I know
one
he like they voluntarily did it, and then they handed another one down.
Like if he came back and beasted, you could make the case that Bengals should take him.
Agreed. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So there's at least two of those top three teams or two of the four. They want an impact defensive player as well.
Yeah.
The Giants would love to see him fall down to them. And the Giants would love to see Akuda go to them as well because they need secondary help.
CeeDee Lamb for other teams, Isaiah Simmons. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
This is going to be a fun draft because the talent is deep. I mean, you got to go to like 16 to get to a player that you might not have heard of. Everything else, you know all these guys.
Because there's at least, five, six, seven wide receivers we know.
Yep.
Three, four. Even if you throw in Love, mm-hmm. not that he should go that high.
But he's starting to get some play.
That always happens.
Yeah.
You know, you start to convince yourself.
Talking about Love, the quarterback from...
Got nothing but love for you, do you think? Yeah, the quarterback from out west, Utah State. Yep. So it's going to be fun. There's a chance we'll be out there. We were in Nashville for the draft a year ago, so... This NFL draft is going to be wacky. All right, let's get to the Drew Brees stuff here. So Drew Brees announced today he's coming back, which is great for the NFL, one of the true sportsmen of our generation, a champion, a first ballot Hall of Famer, has all the pertinent requisite numbers. My contention, and it's a slight one, because if you see those numbers on the screen here, almost 75% completion percentage, which is insane in the NFL, 3,000 yards despite missing five games, 27 touchdowns to four picks despite missing five games.
Mm-hmm.
The yards per attempt, below eight. I mean, nothing, not great, good,
It's below the league. It's above the league average, but below what you expect from him.
Yeah, Michael Thomas lit the world on fire, and they went 13-3, and then they lost in overtime to the Vikings. He didn't play particularly well. He threw 33 times for 200 and something yards, a touchdown and a pick. Listen, I think that Drew Brees. I just don't think he's the same player. I can't quantify that.
I agree with you.
Because the stats say otherwise.
I'm not going to argue with you because he's not.
But because of that and the state of the NFC, I don't think they can make it back to the Super Bowl.
See,
I just don't.
I felt like this shift happened two or three years ago with their run game becoming as dynamic as it is. And then you throw in the fact that you have Taysom Hill, who may not be there next year because he wants to be a starting quarterback, even though... soon to be 30, I'm not sure who's taking a shot at him. You know what I mean? So Taysom Hill's in a weird spot because he's...
Boy, if he left, that would really handcuff their offense.
That's
because
that's
about
what
the
I mean.
Gadget stuff that he brings to the
100%
table.
100% agree.
Drew Brees kind of needs him at this point.
I think you're right. So that's my point, right? So about two or three years ago, let's say 2 years ago, with the gadget stuff of Taysom Hill, with Alvin Kamara being as good as he is, the complimentary running back, it used to be that the small guy, like Alvin Kamara, even though he's not small, he's like 6'1", 210 pounds. We call him the small guy. But with Latavius Murray as his counter, like they have offensive weapons to not need Drew Brees to be a hero each and every week. And, in fact, I think this team became more consistent as an offense, and they started winning 12, 13 games a season when they got more balanced offensively. So it wasn't like, hey, Drew, guess what? You got to put up 410 yards and four touchdowns in order for us to win. They don't have to do that anymore. And then you complement that with the defensive side of the ball, which has steadily grown and become viable. Like, you don't need him to be the Drew Brees of old.
But you need him to be better than Kirk Cousins, and he wasn't.
You do, and... I mean, I wish I had an easy explanation for that game. I really don't, because it seemed it's not what you expected.
Against a good defense, didn't play well. I don't think we need to overthink it. Went up against not the 85 Bears,
no.
Not the purple people eaters in the 70s.
Yeah.
A good defense, and Drew Brees looked mortal.
Well, maybe
you play good defense,
and I think
when you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
And I think a lot of that is because maybe what I'm espousing and talking about took him out of that, I got to be great all the time. You know what I mean? It's like, I can sometimes rely on my run game. I can sometimes just drop it down to the back out of the backfield. I can hit my tight end.
You lose the touch then do that when you need to?
Well, you lose the ability to hit that big play all the time. Didn't it feel like 4 or 5 years ago, need a big play, you're down by 15,
God, yeah.
Whatever, down by 20, you need a big play.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes Drew Brees. Here comes a 70-yard touchdown. It was like automatic.
He's amazing.
And it doesn't
necessarily. He's always amazing.
It doesn't always have that ability to do that anymore.
Because his arm strength has gone a little bit.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
You know, those bones.
I don't disagree, BT.
Little slight. So,
but I believe in the complete team being more valuable than the individual superstar, that how it used to be. I prefer this Saints team over the last 3 years than the one I used to watch when Drew Brees was throwing for 5,000 yards a year.
So do I.
You know
so
what I mean?
I.
So and I and it, I think this one's more viable. The other one was you could win those games when you needed to because he was so great. But there's also games you just get blown out of the water. You know, they were very average during a couple of those years. And I think this team has a better chance of winning, especially if there's parity at the top of the NFC, which we know that there is.
I guess what's fair, you lay that out well. And I think that, you know, that it's a very sensible approach. And I'm not even going to vehemently disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But the circumstances of the let me be more specific rather than just keep saying the NFC,
yeah.
I believe is
you
too
think
good.
They're better teams in the NFC.
There's
the
better
Saints.
Defenses.
Hmm.
They're faster.
Yeah.
The Niners, the Vikings, these defense. It's, you know, to get to the Super Bowl, I mean, you've got to be not one, you've got to be two borderline elite defenses, and I don't see that happening for him and them.
Yeah.
I don't. I could be wrong. You're asking me if I think the window's still open. I believe the window is shut.
Here's the other question. So this news, we're talking about this because obviously Drew Brees has decided to play in 2020, which he posted on his Instagram account.
How did he post it?
It was just,
he just said, I'm coming back?
No.
Video
so it was an image of this mountain over this beautiful, I think it was probably the Pacific Ocean. I think he was in Hawaii. I'm pretty sure he's in Hawaii.
He's
so he's
chilling out. Must so be he's nice just, being Drew.
He's climbing. It's like this. It's just a picture.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Right? And then under the picture, it has, you know, whatever he says. Let's do this one more time. Or let's do it again. Let's make another run.
My feelings about the 2020 season, I look forward to the grind and the journey for the reward at the end. Will be worth it. Love you, Who Dat Nation.
Yeah.
Let's make another run at it all.
But the picture is like, it's random.
It's very serene.
Yeah.
He's chilling atop a mountain. You're right. Yeah.
I think he's in Hawaii. Does it say he's in Hawaii?
It does not say the location.
Does it have a geotag at the top?
It doesn't
or no?
actually, no.
Hmm.
No.
I feel like he was in Hawaii a couple days ago because I just started following him a couple days ago. But I think he was in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, the one under, yeah, he is in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Because he posted one underneath it, and that one actually has a tag on it. So he's in Hawaii. All right. All right. You know, the other thing you have to worry about, too, is, you know, we're assuming that he doesn't fall off the cliff next season.
Mm-hmm. Which happens.
And I can't possibly substantiate that. I wouldn't even really predict that. If it happens, we'll react to it. But you're 41 years of age.
Yeah.
You know?
The problem is if that happens, the Saints are done. Because they're going to lose Teddy. They might lose Taysom.
No, if Teddy, they're not, Taysom's going to, they're going to, what is it, $6 million I think he'd make this year.
Yeah.
He goes from 600 to $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll take that and then just say, all right, it's my team next
but
season.
But he thinks he can be a starter.
Yeah, but I'm not saying he can't be, for the record, I'm not. But with this oversaturation of quarterbacks.
I don't disagree.
What chair is going to be left for him?
He's restricted, right? He's restricted, so he really can't. Your movement.
Yeah, if the Saints want him back, he's staying.
Yeah, you're right. His movement is restricted. So, yeah, he's going to be there.
All right. Coming up, so the Giants are getting ready for their reunion, their World Series, the baseball Giants in San Francisco, their World Series reunion, and one of the star players is banned. Wait till you hear why. It's interesting. Axe update is right now. Here's Ack. Somebody just dropped a pretty interesting tweet that's probably going to get about, I don't know, 1.7 likes and however many hundreds of thousands or millions of retweets. LeBron James. LeBron chimed in on baseball. Here's what LeBron just put within the last 15 minutes or so. Listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports, and I know if somebody cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be bleeping irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would do and what I could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. And to say, listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, etc. about this they are. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. That is one well-delivered,
yep,
all-encompassing money tweet.
It's not like going away, this thing. I know we had Billy Ripken on earlier, and he talked about how the commissioner kind of did the right thing because he laid the groundwork 3 years ago. But the groundwork he laid 3 years ago turned out to be wrong today. And guys are pissed off about it.
Mm.
And they're not stopping being pissed off about it.
That's crazy. That's a really good tweet by LeBron. Interesting. Get to the blast here, T. See what we got?
Let's.
Okay.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. I mentioned this, I think, in the first segment in passing when I made that Bills comparison.
Right. Yep.
So the Lions are open to trading all-pro corner Darius Slay.
That's right.
And now he's not young, not always healthy, and when he's on, he's great. Interesting what kind of money he gets and what kind of trademark there is. I mean, it'll be robust. I'm just not sure how robust. Why do they keep moving quality defensive players?
Because they don't want to pay him. They don't want to get in salary cap hell. I don't blame them because this team has been, I don't know, underachieving. But also, let's not forget that when you sign top-end players late, like too late before they're like in or dipping out of their prime, it's bad for business because they don't want to go anywhere. And then they stop. They get hurt. They don't play, and you're stuck. And the only way you can get rid of them is to cut them, and that really accelerates the pain.
You see, I see it totally differently. It's funny how our minds see a question and we just view it so differently here. The reason why I think they refuse or they keep trying to keep trading players that are of highest caliber is that they're never good. They're never good, okay? So they'll have the occasional superstar, and he might be a tick below superstar. He's a star, obviously. And because they have so many other holes that it's hard for them to justify, well, let's... I don't think it's because they're cheap. I think it's them saying, man, we got to patch this up, this up, this up, worry about this and that. How do we give this guy $25 million guaranteed, which is what Darius Slay is reportedly looking for, and then address all the other weaknesses we have?
Yeah, you can't.
Because they're not a good franchise.
Yeah, they don't draft well.
They always have to let that big money guy go and address other stuff, which they always get wrong as well. Okay, Tom Brady likely to bypass free agency tour, and he's not going to do the whole dog and pony show and... Listen, he's going to make teams come to him. He's Tom Brady. Why not? Is this a turnoff if you're considering signing him? Well, first of all, you get to hang out with Giselle for a little bit. So it's not a turnoff if you're one of these teams. Knock, knock. Who is it? It's the Chargers. Oh, Giselle. Hey. How you doing? Oh, Tom went out to the... I'll have a cup of coffee. Giselle, how you doing? Listen, it's not a turnoff because that is the small potatoes aspect. That's the pettiness. If you want Tom Brady, you can meet him in an alley. You can meet him on the moon. It doesn't matter where you meet him. If you say the right thing and believe him about the and convince him about the infrastructure, Tom Brady might say yes. Doesn't matter where it happens.
First of all, you're likely talking to his agent, not him anyways. Or I doubt you're going to his house to hang out.
Why not? Antonio Brown's going to sleep there.
True,
seems like he always opens the door to his house.
True, but I mean... Is it a turnoff? A little bit. I mean,
why?
Come on. Don't you think that you, Tom, need to see how an organization works before you make a decision?
Yeah, come tell me.
Yeah, we got the greatest facilities you've ever seen, Tom. They're fantastic.
Yeah, he's got friends around the NFL. You can ask him.
Here's a picture of it. Look, I swear, it's fantastic. It's beautiful. We even got a hot tub.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
There's a sauna. We have masseuses on staff.
Masseuses. Wow, very modern. You have masseuses. Do you think that... it really would be a turnoff. I know what you're saying. You think the teams would actually
exactly. I don't think they'd be turned off at all.
Neither do I.
I just think Tom would be – Tom doesn't want to go anywhere. I just think this is it'd be a disservice for him not to see other places if he actually wanted to go someplace else. I don't think he actually wants to go someplace
else. Is this to incentivize the Pats so he doesn't have to leave?
Yes.
They come to him, give the perception, I might leave because I'm listening.
Yes.
And maybe that's
and
maybe
he doesn't
tactical.
Have to get on a plane and go waste time.
Like one of these seven islands that they probably own. The Rockets sign Damari Carroll's been around. Jeff Green. These are two interesting signings here. Both have won games and both have been pros for a long time. How big of a deal is this for your Rockets?
My Rockets.
Yeah, they're your Rockets. They're definitely not mine.
I'm disowning them after the GQ cover that I just looked at. Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Well, Russell Westbrook doesn't have a shirt on, trying to remake an old Outkast. What magazine was that?
Wait, this
was
coming from the guy. You've shown me the picture of you when you were at. You look like the Incredible Hulk when you were jacked and you had the blue spandex on. You had no shirt
on. Yeah, but that was.
Well, why could you do it? He can't do it.
Because that wasn't for.
Remember that picture?
That was for Howard Schatz, by the way, who is a great photographer of like athletes' bodies. It is mostly dancers.
All right, well, how do you know who took this picture?
Because this is a GQ. This is like a GQ shoot. Like this is soft, man.
Begrudge the modern player,
right?
Howard
Schatz is like showing muscles. Like when I was flexed, I was jacked. I mean, this is kind of like, hey. what's the question?
Do you like the move? Is it going to help the bottom line to win a championship? The answer is no. Let's move on.
I mean, no.
All right. This is an interesting one here. The Giants ban Aubrey Huff from the 2010 World Series reunion due to his social media commentary. What's our thoughts on teams shunning players for derogatory comments? I have a real issue with the Giants on this one. Mm. This is a real petty move on their part.
Well, I mean, it was violent.
Heard about the guns?
It was a violent intimation.
About there, basically, there was a picture of him. Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's classy. Yeah. I mean, I would never do this. I don't know why he did this. He was trying to have fun, I guess. But there was he was at a firing range or a shooting range, and he captioned it with "In the event that Bernie beats Trump, I need to have my sons need know something like my sons need to know how to handle themselves with a gun," which is pure idiocy.
Yeah,
anybody who but.
I mean, it's still petty. It's kind of a threat, though.
It's still,
right?
No, it's not a threat. You're not taking it. That's, you got to know his personality.
Of course.
Huff was a complete nutball. That's how he was in the club. I was there when he was there.
Yeah.
Nutball.
Yeah,
and beloved by that team. The fact that they're closing the doors is very petty. I mean, and by the way, he posted a letter. I'm going to get back to the letter because the letter is pretty interesting. Go ahead, guys. Charlie Strong joining Nick Saban. Oh, Charlie Strong, I mean, starting to bounce around a little bit now.
Yeah.
Joining Nick Staff at Alabama. Is this the right move for Strong?
As a defensive coordinator, I think it is a good move for Charlie Strong. I mean, maybe he wants to get back into a head coaching role, but his shine has fallen off after those great seasons he had at Louisville. Texas was a disastrous decision in the first place, following Mack Brown, who had no talent coming there.
Nope.
And that year that Mack left, they had nobody in the draft.
Zero.
This is Texas, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. And then South Florida, it was okay at South Florida, but not what they expected. He didn't lift the program. He was over 500, but he didn't lift the program. So I think this is a great landing spot for him. He doesn't have to be the man. He can just let his coaching do the work under one of the great coaches of all time in college football.
Yeah, but so let's say they have a really good defense, and they will, because they'll have probably four or five five-stars starting on the defense. I'm not saying Charlie's not going to do good job, like, putting them in the right spots. He will, but, like, how does this elevate how he's perceived?
I don't think it is about his perception. I think this is about him being successful again.
Okay, so assuming that he will be, and he will be.
Yeah.
What does it lead to? It's not going to lead to a high-profile job.
I don't think that's what he's looking for.
Oh, so you don't think that he's looking to elevate he wants to be head coach again?
Maybe, but I don't think he's looking to jump right away. Like a lot of these guys, and this is Nick Saban's biggest issue. Let's be real. His coaches are bouncing. At a ridiculous rate. Like they're there for 2 years and they're out. Go get a head coaching job somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or use it as a springboard. Charlie Strong's not in a position to do that to Nick Saban. So I think it works for all parties.
Okay.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Because at the end of the day, you're right, BT. Even if they go win a national championship, it's not going to be because of Charlie Strong. And people aren't going to say, oh, let's forget about what happened at Texas and forget about what happened at South Florida. No, it's just you're going to be there. And
correct.
And keep growing that. And maybe 3, 4, 5 years from now, you can consider it again. But I think it's a good move for Charlie Strong.
Okay. So Aubrey Huff wrote this. He said, it's true. He wrote this and he put this on social media. It's true. 3 weeks ago, I had a call with Larry Bear. We had Larry on the show after they won the championship. The first year we were doing the show together, Larry Bear came on, the CEO of the Giants. He took me by surprise when he told me I was unanimously voted against attending the 2010 Giants World Series Championship reunion. When I asked why I wasn't invited, he told me that the board, so I guess it wasn't the guys on the team, it was the board.
Yeah.
The board didn't approve of my Twitter post and my political support of Donald Trump. My locker room humor on Twitter is meant to be satirical and sarcastic, and it was that type of humor that loosened up the locker room in 2010 for our charge of the World Series. I loved it then. They loved it. It hasn't changed. That's not the issue. It's politics. So, you know, delineating between supporting President Trump, if you're banning him for that, you should be ashamed of yourself. If you're banning him for...
Yeah, I don't think it's that.
But they could be using the social media...
Well, it's one thing to be...
As a buffer to keep him out.
It's one thing to have this kind of satirical... humor in a locker room. It's another, and nobody hears about it except for the guys in the locker room, and that kind of galvanizes you.
I don't disagree with that.
But it's another to put it out publicly the way that he was, and it's off-putting to some people or to a percentage of people. I don't know who it is on the board that was offended by this, but it was clearly more than, you know, a minority. So
he was an important cog on that team. I mean... Man, you know, if I'm Aubrey Huff, he doesn't sound too annoyed.
Mm-mm.
But if I'm a Giants fan, I'm annoyed.
Yeah,
like he was a
but
really
it's just, I mean, what is it?
Popular
it's a,
guy.
It's a
he would go out to the bars like you'd
no,
see
no, no,
Aubrey
but what,
Huff
what,
hanging out.
What is this? They're
fans
talking
loved
about?
Them.
So this is like a celebration of a
10-year reunion of their first San Francisco title because they won in New York. That was the first time they won in San Francisco. Yeah, I have a problem with that. I don't like the Giants doing that. I'm not fully surprised, but that's pretty weak. Now, if you want to put it to the entire team, at least maybe there's a greater representation. But to do it where the board, I don't even know how many members are on the board. I'm not sure, but
yeah.
I'm sure it's a smaller amount than the 25 guys, I would think, that were on that team in 2010. It just seems very heavy-handed. Not a fan of that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I mean, he doesn't seem upset because why would he be? Like, he was championed when that happened in 2010. He was seventh in the MVP voting that year. I mean, he had a great season. Everybody knows it. This is not going to, like, overshadow what he did in 2010.
No,
like,
no.
The fact that they announced it is actually more probably the insult.
Doesn't get to bask in the glory. I mean, it's nice to be able to tip the cap one more time.
It's a decade ago.
Yeah, but, I mean, without that, when will Aubrey Huff be in front of 50,000 people again cheering for him? The answer is never. I mean, he's a retired athlete. He doesn't have the profile of a you or guys.
I don't have a high profile.
Or Barry Bonds.
I just
I mean, I'm saying, but your profile is a lot higher than Aubrey Huff's. What do you mean? Of course it is. So Aubrey Huff now misses out on a chance to partake in something really special.
Yeah, if he needs that. Does he need that?
That I can't answer. But I would think most humans would want that because you earned it.
I think more of them don't actually than you would think.
I don't know, man. I mean, but that's not the point.
I know, but he doesn't seem like he cares. You know what I mean?
Taking the high road, I guess. Some of those posts were absolutely ridiculous. There's no doubt about that. But
what happened, Samter? He went on radio today and did what?
So he actually got hung up on 95.7 The Game.
My old
Joe
station.
Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Well, Dibs, what happened?
They apparently got very emotional, very angry.
He did.
And they hung up on Huff.
They did.
But I think the issue is really just a lot of his posts, whether you're
they got
conservative
upset.
Or
they
liberal,
got upset
he's very
at him.
Offensive
yeah.
in his posts.
They got upset with him?
And they hung up on him.
Oh, that's weak.
I got to call my boy Dibs to see what happened.
Come on, that's weak. You don't hang up on a guest.
You ever hang up on anybody?
No. Well, we almost hung up on Lonzo.
That's a rough one.
Dude, what dog, man.
Balls, man. All right, everybody have a fantastic Tuesday. We will see you tomorrow. Enjoy it. Be careful. Be safe. Peace. Gotta go.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.